Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing good.
You look great.
Do I?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. You look great yourself.
Oh, thanks. I think it's the weather.
Yeah? The weather make people look good?
Or maybe it's just my perception is better because of the weather.
Oh, so it's you. It's not really me. I may not look that good.
You may not. You may not look any different.
I just look good to you.
Yes.
Maybe he hasn't had it in a few days. Anyway.
I've had it with you.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Had it with you.
So we're sitting here Saturday morning, pre-recording the show.
Right.
Drinking some Timmy's coffee.
Exactly, yeah.
That Lippo prepared for us.
Right.
Decaf, apparently.
Mm-hmm. It is. Swear to God.
I don't know if I'd know or not. I don't know if I'd realize I was zinging or not, because I already am.
Are you zinging, yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Ephedra.
I gotta love the
effect. Back at it.
And you find that helps you?
You drop the poundage. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible stuff. It'll shed the fat.
Just because your metabolism is running at such a high rate.
Well, that's part of it, the Ephedra, but it also curbs your appetite to some degree, and it also will help to, there's things in it that'll help you stop your body from turning sugar into fat.
Okay.
So that every little bit helps. All the different things. Sure. Yeah.
Well, because your stomach muscles are tight, or I don't get how that curbs your appetite.
No, it just somehow gives you maybe it's your brain, the effect that you're already kind of full or something, but protein will do that as well. So if you eat higher protein foods or have a protein shake, you know, or a couple through the day, mm-hmm. it fills you up more. And so you're less likely to ingest other calories that you probably shouldn't have. So you couple all that together and it's good.
I think I've already asked you this, but are you not worried about the long-term effect of having an ephedrine buzz every day?
No.
You don't think that's hard?
Living for today, baby. Living for today.
Because you might not be here tomorrow.
That's right.
You might commit suicide.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
We'll pick that back up in a little bit. No, I'm not really worried about it. I don't know that there's really a long-term effect of ephedra, really. I don't know. I think...
Have you looked into it?
No, not necessarily. Right. I think, you know, I have in the past. I don't think there's really any studies that show over a long period of time, because it's a relatively newer thing that people were taking, even for a number of years now. But when you have to look at 10, 20 years down the road, I don't think it's been going on that long. So you could sort of say, I'm one of the guinea pigs.
Oh, okay.
But I do it and I stop. I do it and I stop. You know what I mean? And I think it gets out of your system pretty much. Hard to say exactly, but
okay.
I'm living for today.
All right. That's good.
So how did things go with your, are you still watching what you do? Because I know you started that in January as far as,
oh yeah, you know, yeah.
Watch what you eat and
actually,
stuff.
Actually, today it was the last day that I had put on my little sheet of I'm going to be keeping track kind of thing.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I wanted to lose 25 pounds and I did.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's good.
And you lost the 25.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of weight to lose, you know.
Extra baggage.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. That was 205 and I'm about
no wonder one. You look so good.
Oh, thank you very much.
What are you at, did you say?
179, I weighed myself this morning.
Wow. It's a shrimp now.
Kim says I was a shrimp all the time.
That's pretty good.
Look at the size of that. You're a shrimp.
Is that a shrimp?
Or is that a shrimp?
Does it straighten out?
No.
So
always to the left.
Anything else going on around here? You had something you did last night.
I had a blast yesterday.
What went on?
It's the annual Woodsley Rock Fest.
Okay.
They have it at the school here in town.
Which annual fest was it last night?
This would be the third annual Rock Fest. And both my kids were in it. It's a bunch of bands. The first band, I'm not exactly sure where they're from. They look like a bunch of college students. I think they were friends of Mr. Sammer, who was the grade eight teacher there, and he's also in.
Did the teacher play?
Oh, the teacher plays, yeah. It's all their equipment, his band's okay. equipment. A couple Marshall stacks.
Are the guys in his band older guys, or are they students?
No, they're older guys.
Okay.
But they're younger than us. Like, Mr. Sammer still lives at home. He's getting married.
Wow, teacher, call him Mr. Whoever, he's young, lives at home.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
And he's hot, apparently. All Kim's friends like, oh, Mr. Samurai, he's so nice looking.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of bands go up, and then his band goes up at the end.
Mm-hmm. So both your kids played, though?
Both my kids
played. And they weren't playing together?
They played one song together with a friend of theirs who doesn't go to that school. Mr. Samurai was nice enough to let him go up and play Simple Man.
Okay.
The Skinner tune.
And who sang?
Jonas sang. And it was the only song he sang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's ever sung it once through the whole thing either. So
it come out okay?
It came out all right. But his band, Jonas's band, they were pretty good. They need a singer, though. But as far as tightness goes, they were pretty tight. It's just the singer needed a little work or something. And then Eric, who's in grade eight, played with a buddy of his and his dad.
And Eric was playing bass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jonas was playing drums?
No. His dad was playing the...
Well, I mean, for his...
Jonas was playing drums in his band, yeah. And Eric was playing bass in the...
Holy musical family. Does your wife play a musical instrument at all?
She plays the mouth organ.
Oh, here we go.
No, that would be harmonica. She doesn't play harmonica.
Oh.
No, she doesn't... she's not musically inclined.
No?
It's just my...
Not
genes.
Even a recorder?
She did play recorder when she was a kid, she told me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think everybody had one of them at some time.
And she played drums, too, she said at one time, when she was in high school.
Oh, really?
In the music class, she played drums.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So played with the band, playing songs, drumming?
No, like in music class, like, you know, okay. In your class wasn't.
Yeah, but usually don't they go do concerts somewhere and things
no,
like that?
No, that's the high school band, like what Jonas is in right now.
Okay,
like,
well, so just music class.
Music class, yeah.
Okay.
I wish I had music class when I was in high school. They didn't have that. You didn't have a choice.
Does she ever ask you to teach her something? Show me how to play guitar?
Yes.
I want to play the drums again?
Yeah, that was... Before we got married, I tried to get her into that, but she doesn't have the patience.
Yeah.
She's very short fused on herself. You know, she's hard on herself for whatever reason. But I think it's just me and my kids got the same gene of...
My kids and I?
Did I say kids and me?
Yeah.
My kids and me. There must just be something there. But Eric, he's got a lot of other stuff on his mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're all well aware of that.
Yeah. So music isn't a really big thing, whereas Jonas is kind of passionate about music and sports, and he's into it. He'll play those drums every day, for sure. And we had a bunch of kids who were in the other bands come here last night.
Oh, okay,
Their parents came over, and we had a little jam session going on here. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Did you film it?
I filmed one tune, yeah.
Did you record anything? Did you... I guess filming's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I got the video camera down here and checked it out. Do you remember Kevin LaFrancois? He still works at the plant.
Sounds familiar.
He was our singer in a band that I was in, TaylorMade, and the first version of King Friday.
Oh, Kevin, the tall blonde kind of guy there? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
His
kid
plays drums.
Yeah?
And he was in one of the bands there, and he was down here.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Kevin plays drums, too.
So you'll post something up at some point for everybody to see?
If you want.
Well, I want to. Maybe the parents want to, too. That'd be cool. You probably filmed a lot of stuff at the actual thing, didn't you?
Yep.
There you go. It's cool with that video camera.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Some of the parents did ask me last night, can you burn that for me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling... It's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Okay, and here we are in the newsroom, on the floor, Japanese style.
Come on, slip in the chair with me here, Jeff. Big JD, sorry.
Slip in the chair. He's got it all oiled up. It's one of those vinyl things.
No. It's wood.
And speaking of... getting all comfy in the here, just put that leg around. There we go. speaking of getting comfy in the oiled up vinyl chair, California prepares for gay marriages.
Yeah, they got passed some legislation there, state legislation that allows same sex marriages.
A landmark state Supreme Court decision May 15th. yep. state agency on Wednesday tentatively set that date as the first day counties can begin issuing marriage license to same-sex couples.
Yep. They're the second state after.
The other one.
Yeah. That's it.
What is the other one?
Starts with an M.
Missouri.
Missouri.
Massissouri. Massachusetts.
Yes, you say it better than I do.
Massachusetts. So only two states now are allowing that at all right now? What about San Francisco? California. California. That is California.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to this wonderful Saturday morning. We just woke up and...
And I'm on ephedrine.
Yeah. So, yeah, San Francisco, that's got to be
they're very
hot
happy
for them, boy.
They're loving it.
I guess. So. They're loving a lot of things. Facebook's chief wouldn't sell to Microsoft for $15
billion. Microsoft made an offer.
What's his name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, yeah. Has no plans to sell the social networking site.
Did they not offer him? They didn't offer him $15 billion, did they? I never heard of that story.
Apparently.
Really? Okay. I didn't know that. I heard he made a statement saying, I'm staying. They want to change the board around or whatever. But he's staying at the top.
They must have inquired.
They might have.
Maybe they didn't set an actual amount or anything like that. But
because I don't see Microsoft wanting to get into this social network aspect. They want to get into search. Advertising and search is going to be the big... bucks.
It all depends on where they would see Facebook going. You know what I mean? How they can use Facebook, how they can utilize it for other things. And maybe that's what he didn't like as far as, you know, getting their grubbies on it and switching things over to some more advertising and other things. And, you know, hard to say.
He wants to keep it. He wants to be in control. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. He wants to stay in control of it for sure.
I was going to go to the premiere of Sex and the City. My wife and her friend were going, so I was going to tag along because I want to meet Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City. He was here in the city. And he
was here in the city having sex.
Yeah. Probably because his girlfriend's here. She lives here and they just had a baby. And he actually owns Once Upon a Teacup, which is in the east side, a little tea house for, you know, little light lunches and tea, coffee, things like that. It's on Banwell Road, actually. And he owns that. So
in between Tecumseh Road and the highway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In a plaza there somewhere. Odd place, but I guess it's starting to build up out there. So
sure
I think
is.
We're going to see a lot happening out that way.
Yeah.
And so he owns that. He was in the city and I was looking up some information on that and came across the site. Onceuponateacup.ca. Some folks might want to check that out. Frequent it.
Sure. I'm there.
Plug there from Big JD LeBeau. So... Well, anything else happened in the news?
What you mean, like non-tech news?
Yeah, non-tech news.
You see a plane crash in Honduras?
No.
Overshot a runway and kind of scrunched it up and banged into a hill, I guess, just before a street.
And what happened? Was anybody hurt? Killed?
Some people got killed. 7 people died and 80 were injured when a commercial airliner overshot the runway into an adjoining street. Oh, I guess it did reach the street, crushing 3 vehicles and splitting into 3 sections before resting a few feet from a house.
And did they say why? How did he overshoot the runway?
Probably fell asleep. No, I don't know. How do you overshoot a runway? I don't know.
The flight's over and everything's coming to an end and everybody's gearing up to get off the airplane and everything, basically, while you're still strapped in, I guess, for the landing and everything. But, you know, everything's all done and ready and then all of a sudden you fall asleep right at the very end. You're bringing the plane down to the runway, then fall asleep.
No.
Not the 12 hours before that during the flight, but right when you're ready to land, fall asleep.
No, usually you wake up then.
I'm sure he woke up at some point if he fell asleep.
Pilots... oftentimes we'll leave the cabin and if there's a seat available, they'll come in and sit down and go to sleep.
Oh, that's great to see. You know, the captain came back here sleeping while the plane's flying.
Well, there's somebody else up there still.
Okay. Does it say anything about the captain being killed?
Yeah.
Is it right at the front of the helm?
Yep. The crew died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it serve them right, do you think?
Serves them right.
Yeah. And serve the captain right?
Well... I listened to Adam Curry, and he's a pilot, and he says that there's 2 main reasons that planes crash. What, that kind of crash or whatever?
Negligence. And mechanical.
Yeah, pilot air. They call it pilot air.
Sure.
Or maintenance. Something happened mm-hmm. to the plane that didn't
serve yeah, them well, right. What else is there really?
So it could have been brakes. The brakes didn't...
hijacking, possibly.
No, they don't mention that.
But if he overshot the runway, if he landed on the runway and couldn't stop, it was one thing. So I don't think it's brakes.
The Airbus A320 landed at Tongkonkonkonkon in International Airport amid high winds and low visibility. So that might have been it. They didn't see the beginning.
Yeah, they don't give you the whole story. The pilot forgot his contact lenses. That's why that was low visibility. Because he was blind.
It traveled 300 meters beyond the runway. That's a football field, isn't it? A little bit more, I guess. Oh, no, that's three football 200 fields.
200 or 200 something. 300-yard football?
Yeah, 100 yards is a football.
Oh, I thought they were longer.
300, so it's three football fields. That's a long friggin' way. Holy moly. Sure.
For overshooting, not being able to stop is one thing, but overshooting the runway by that far is, that's a far cry from 300 yards back. So is that all our news for today?
That is our news.
You're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo on WKBR.
WKBR website at WKBR.ca, you will have noticed the explicit content warning. Some shows on WKBR may contain explicit content. Therefore, it is advised that you be 18 years of age or older to listen, or have adult consent. Please note, however, Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show and the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo do not contain explicit content and therefore are exempt from the explicit content warning. All ages are welcome for any shows hosted by Big JD or Big JD and Lippo.
Welcome back to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
I'm Lippo. Oh, no, we're at a different part. Sorry.
So, what's today's show about?
Today's show is about suicide.
Wow.
Not a very happy subject.
No, but if you can shed some light to help other individuals, maybe we can make them happy.
I hope that whoever listens to the show, we're making them happy.
Mm-hmm. No matter what the subject.
Exactly.
That's what we do. We make people happy.
That's what I'm
We entertain.
Trying to entertain people while we talk about stuff that matters. And sometimes about stuff that doesn't matter.
Did you ever contemplate suicide?
Never.
Me either.
I think that life is too fun.
Yeah, it's all about the fun for me too. I think that's all that matters is the fun. Sometimes I'm too much about the fun. So
yes, sometimes you are, and I'm sure your wife hates you for
trouble.
It.
Yeah.
Me too.
I try and turn any situation into something fun, and it's not always the best idea.
Yeah, you know? I understand that.
But it's a guy thing. I think more guys tend to do that than, you know what I mean? I guess if my wife did some of the things, said some of the things, and tried to turn some of the things around that I do, I'd want to slap her. And I guess that's why I get slapped, so.
Is Lana a slapper, yeah?
Big time. I get beat all the time. All the time.
Now, there's an instance where you got to get the video camera out.
I've had it. Oh, I have video of her slapping me to death. Yeah. I'll show you that sometime.
To death. Well, that's not
exactly. Didn't I show you the fart one in the Jeep? Oh, I was letting them rip. She was beating on me. It was craziness. And I just kept filming her. And she was slapping and slapping. It's hilarious. Anyway.
That's good video to keep just in case.
In case.
Let me know where that's at, okay? So in case I find you dead.
Suicide.
Well, no, that would be homicide, wouldn't it?
There are a lot of songs about suicide, and sometimes they say that there are hidden messages about committing suicide and telling you to commit suicide, and people have. And I remember at one time in the 80s, there was a big, well, I'm sure Ozzy's been involved in court cases like that, but Judas Priest. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing going on that one of the songs told a kid to take his life, and I guess he killed himself, and the parents sued the band.
Yeah. They didn't win.
That's just crazy. Though. Yeah, that's... It's the individual.
It's about interpretation, obviously.
Sure. But I mean, not only music, but anything. It's, you know, I strongly believe it's the individual and their mindset, their frame of thought. I don't think that any normal, rational person, no matter what somebody told them or how bad things can be, should or would consider that.
I agree 100%, yeah.
It's not really an alternative, but if there's something really, really wrong with you, or you're just irrational or can't perceive things, you know, there's got to be something wrong.
Absolutely.
And what that is exactly, I don't really know.
Yeah, because we're all hardwired. The way that we're made is to, there's self-preservation built in, you know?
Yeah, the basics of us is all the same. But then it comes into, you have our mental side, you know, I mean, kind of physically, I mean, everybody doesn't look the same, but you know, physically as a human being, we're kind of all the same. The brain does this. We are capable of this, capable of that. It works, this side works to the left side, the right, you know what I mean? It's all generally the same for everybody. But then you come into, you know, the whole fact of the matter of us being individual. We all have our own will, you know, all that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. subconscious and our mental capacities and things like that. But, and I think that's where you come into some people operate differently
yes.
than others.
Do you think that it's genetic, possibly?
I think it could be, especially when you hear some stories, like I know that you had mentioned one before of, some, you know, more than one person in a family having this happen, but and it was people before in the family too. No, I mean, it wasn't just a couple kids did it. I mean, there was a father and a mother, however that worked. But
yeah,
I think similar to the vicious circle of maybe child molestation and things like that, it's a similar thing.
Yes, exactly.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a gene maybe or something like that, or something that just isn't wired properly that, you know, affects a generation, some type of a chemical imbalance or something, or just something that triggers something like that possibly. But yeah, I do feel that it can be a hereditary thing, I think.
Me too. But also, in most situations, I think, it's a series of events that happen that lead a person down the path of considering suicide.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. You may not have had something there that necessarily, you know, is hardwired into you for that to happen, or hereditarily, if that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, the events that trigger it, if somebody in your family does and then something happens and you lose your wife and your child dies and your dog gets hit by it and all these things that lead you to a point where you just can't take it anymore. Where this never, you know, the thought would never have crossed your mind if these things didn't happen. But then why does that happen for one person and not for another? There's still, you would think, has to be something there that can trigger that in one person, and that doesn't happen in another person.
Mm, that's a good point.
You know, some people sometimes look at tragedy as something that makes them stronger.
It should.
Sure. You really have to, you know, grasp what's going on with the situation and how you have to deal with it and handle it.
Yeah. If you can put it in your head that any bad thing that happens on any given day will make a better situation down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It may not seem that way at that moment, but if you can put that in your head, this bad thing will be good. It's all meant to be, because something good is going to come out of this.
Well, they say time heals all wounds, and it's pretty much true. Not that the wound won't be there. You know, you'll still have that wound or that scar.
Sure. Scar, yeah.
But, you know, time can heal that, just like it does a real wound. So, and the other thing I think to keep in mind is the fact that life isn't perfect. Life's not perfect. We lose people in our families and different things like that, and bad things happen. And you have to realize that those things happen, and... There you go. Are you trying to wake Lippo up here?
I had a yawn. Sorry.
Good thing you weren't flying an airplane.
I made that up.
What?
This he fell asleep thing.
Oh. So yeah, you want to keep in mind maybe that life isn't perfect.
Maybe that pilot was trying to commit suicide.
Could have been. I'm sure that's
people,
happened.
I'm taking these people with me.
As I was saying.
Sorry.
Before I was interrupted with yawns and... Yeah, I think that people should be aware that bad things happen in your life, and they happen in other people's life. It's not only you either. That's another thing to keep in mind, is that, you know, when something bad, a tragedy might happen in your life, or something that makes you feel sad or you know, really brings you down, it happens in other people's lives too. Other people go through that. You're never the only one.
Right. And if you can reach out and get a hold of some people, there's lots of support out there for people who are considering suicide.
Sure. And we'll get into some of the support. But another thing, a great point that you bring up is the support. When you're going through something like that and you're sad and somebody's died in your family, say, or you're, you know, went through a divorce with someone that you really loved or anything. Mm-hmm. If you think, you know, what if my friend went through that or somebody else, and you were asked, you know, what would you say to a person that went through that? You know, I don't think that that person would say, gee, I don't even know what I'd tell them. You know, I think they'd have a lot to say.
I think so too.
You know, and you have to maybe put it in that kind of context that, you know, what should you actually be telling yourself, you know, to try and get through this? Because you would have a lot of input and information for somebody else going through this, you know, and so you have to kind of try to, you know, live by what you would tell somebody else to maybe stop them from feeling sad or stop them from taking their life perhaps, or, you know.
I think it's just another perspective on your situation will make you see things a different way, possibly.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, because that's all it is. It's your perspective. You brought your perspective down to a certain point that you don't see yourself coming out of it, but listen to someone else's perspective before you do anything.
And I wanted to mention this, actually. I would have liked to mention it in the news segment, I guess, but this is more appropriate here, about the girl that killed herself over a mother portraying that she was a boy that liked the girl on MySpace. And it had something to do with, I think maybe there was rivalry with the woman's daughter and this girl or something. So she was portraying she was a boy, and then she told this girl that she'd be better off, the world would be better off without her. And this girl had really, you know, loved this guy on MySpace. They'd never met, but because it was somebody just playing somebody that they weren't.
Right.
And she was heartbroken over this. And within an hour after being told that from this so-called boy, she killed herself.
Yep.
And so the mother was indicted. And did we actually find out if she was charged and everything? She was charged and everything.
And indicted. And I don't know what her sentence was, what she ended up doing. I mean, she has kids of her own, so I'm not sure that they'll throw her in jail. But I'm not sure what the end result of that was. But yeah, you got to watch what you say or what you do. You don't screw with people's minds like that.
No, absolutely not. They charged Miss Drew with criminally accessing MySpace and violating rules established to protect young vulnerable people. She had co-conspirators, I guess, too, violated MySpace terms of service. They go on and on about the MySpace violation, cyberbullying. I have to keep reading on here, I guess, to find out if convicted. She faces up to 5 years of federal prison on the conspiracy count and up to 5 years on each count of accessing protected computers for the purpose of intentionally inflicting emotional distress on the girl. 5 years in federal prison on the conspiracy count. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the portraying she's somebody else, really? Is that what that is?
I assume so, yeah, from what you've read, yeah.
So there you have that. We'll come back with the Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Okay.
Need more Big JD? Go to BigJD.com. Check out the program guide there for all the shows that I host and the shows I host with Lippo, as well the blog, merchandise, and more. BigJD.com.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Okay, Lippo, what have you got queued up for us this morning on Sunday Morning Music Mayhem?
This is from a band that is no longer around. However, the lead singer has got a pretty good career going. It's Chris Cornell and Soundgarden, and one of their better albums, in my opinion, is Super Unknown, and the tune on there is called Like Suicide. Okay, that's Like Suicide from Soundgarden off their Super Unknown CD. One thing I always thought was funny about Soundgarden was the guitar player, Kim Thayil. Mm-hmm. I remember reading an interview with him, and he sounded so pompous and like he was the best, whatever.
You know? Oh, yeah?
And I remember this one quote, I won't forget it. He said, there's a lot of really good guitar players. However, there's only so many guitar players that can be as good as me and the other 5% of us who are the top guitar players.
No, I wouldn't put him anywhere near the top.
Top
really.
5%?
No. He's cool and stuff and an influential, like a, you know, one of the cool band to come along. But I wouldn't put him up there.
No.
What did he ever do? Some cool rhythms. He wasn't really that fantastic or anything.
No, he wasn't. I agree 100%. But I just thought that was...
Awesome. Would he make it into my top 50? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Top 100? No.
I don't think so.
Maybe top 100.
I don't know. There's a lot of other people I would put in there because you got to consider not thinking about only rock and roll. There's a lot of other good guitar players that play out other genres of music. And But if it's just rock and roll, I guess, yeah, you might make it to the top 100. But I doubt it after hearing that.
Yeah, after hearing how pompous he is.
Pompous ass.
He's got a degree in philosophy, I know.
Well, that's why he talks like that.
That's what I think, too. Exactly.
Kind of off into his own little philosophical thing about himself. Nice.
I'm good.
Yeah. So what do you got for us? We're back on the suicide.
Okay, talking about suicides today on the Jabbercast. Mm-hmm. One of the topics I wanted to mention was suicide attempts. One of the statistics that I had read was that there are no hard stats for this, but they say between 10 and 20% of suicide attempts are successful, which leads me to believe that there's a lot of people out there who try to commit suicide or go through the motions of looking like they want to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. But really, I think it's like a call for help or something. It's
right.
Like 80 to 90% of the people who, slit their wrists, which I remember one guy, just think of that, just the wrist slitting. I knew one guy, he would do it steady, like every month he would be slitting his wrist, man.
Deep enough to
screw up his tendons, yeah. I've seen him like out on the streets downtown Windsor like 20 years later, and he's like this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Messed up. Yeah,
he's all messed up.
And that's the thing, too. What about all those people that only attempt suicide? What kind of damage do they do to themselves? Like him with his tendons and his wrist, or somebody hangs himself and you know, doesn't actually kill himself, but, you know... Scarring is one thing. They could only be so lucky just to have a scar, but I mean, you mess up something in your neck, or you break your neck but live, or you're left with the, you know, that the fact that you attempted this, you know, is that going to make you attempt it again some other time? Is it going to make you realize that you never should have done that? Is it going to, you know, scar you somehow for life because you did that, or because people know that you did that? That's got to be a horrible thing to live with too. Oh, that guy, he tried to kill himself a couple times.
Yep.
You have that shadow over you.
If you were to commit suicide, Big JD, how would you do it?
How would I do it?
Yeah.
I'd jump in front of a speeding locomotive. Yeah, I gotta go out heavy. I go out, I'm going out heavy.
Just curious. Yeah, well,
a locomotive or a transport truck on the highway or something, just dive in front of it.
I think the locomotive thing's better because, you know, there's the poor truck driver there who's, you know, he sees you. Or is it train?
Well, there's
guy?
An engineer, too.
I know, but he can't really do anything about it. I mean, the truck driver can't do anything about it either if you just jump out in front of him. But
if you stood at the side of the highway with, holding up with your arm around like a dummy that looked like there's two people there and a truck was coming by and you just threw that out in front of the truck, boy, you'd slip a disc. Imagine that.
Yeah,
you thinking that some guy just jumped out in front of your truck.
Yeah, you would kill somebody doing that.
You could, certainly.
Well, yeah, the driver's going to slam on his brakes, do something.
Wow, that would devastate him.
Yeah.
I wonder how he would feel after even driving his truck anymore.
Yeah.
Just that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
See somebody at the side of the road next week. And so what else have we got?
Welcome to the sordid, twisted mind of JD.
It's just hypothetical, of course.
Yeah, like, well, who comes up with that stuff? Big JD. I was also thinking about suicide bombers. During World War II, there was the kamikaze guys.
Sure.
They're not depressed. They weren't, they're just doing this for their country.
Right. And same as the Unabombers or the, what are the other, the car ones, car bomb.
Yeah, car bomb, suicide guys, or the people who just
There's
walk.
A name for that, though. What is that?
Car bomb.
Car bomber?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the people who wear the explosives and they just walk into a market and pull something and boom, they blow themselves up.
Do you think there's anybody that does that and say, wow, it would be cool to do that? Load it up with dynamite and poof. Yeah.
No.
I don't think so either.
That'd be a good way to
but
go.
But that's
though.
A major brainwashing to actually go through with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
For Allah.
For Allah. Well, in that
it's all
case,
for Allah.
In that case, it's to rid the world of infidels.
Infidels.
The next thing one was assisted suicide.
Ooh. Dr. Kevorkian comes to mind.
Yes, that's euthanasia.
Mm-hmm. What about the euthanasia?
I hear they're getting pretty good jobs, but they're dealing with the earthquakes there. No. Euthanasia, that's putting someone down, as it were.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I don't see a problem with it if it's done in, you know, the right...
circumstance.
Circumstance, sure.
I think
like Kevorkian, I don't think he was helping people, I think.
I think it's been done for centuries and centuries.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day, when a certain member of the family got old and sick, you know, we're just used to, you know, send them to the hospital, send them to a home, they'll take care of them, and they'll die peacefully. And that's really what you want for your parent.
Sure.
You want them to go peacefully, and you want it to be as easy for them as possible. So we have ways in our society right now to deal with it, and when they finally do go after, you know, probably lengthening their life quite a bit than it would have been 1,000 years ago, they didn't have that system in place. So what they would do, I think, was, you know, give them a certain plant or a certain mixture, and it would just go to sleep.
And even still, that they do have a place like, you know, something like that in place now, you have to look at, you know, the person or the parent that there is no coming back from their illness, or if they are in pain, great deal of pain, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, I don't really think it's wrong under the right circumstance.
Me neither.
You know, you don't want to watch them suffer.
Exactly.
But at the same time, if somebody's comfortable and they're living at a home, what if they want to die? They want you to do something for them, say. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, they're not necessarily in pain. They have some things to do at the place that they're at. You know, they have a few friends in there maybe, but they just don't want to live anymore. There's, you know, they don't feel like they're contributing anything. They feel like they're a burden. Their kids don't visit them that often. You know, what do you think when somebody just thinks that, you know, I don't want to live anymore. I have a terminal illness or whatever, something that's, you know, not allowing me to really do anything with my life anymore. And it's pretty much done.
I would try to talk them out of that.
Yeah. As much as I can understand that from their side, I don't think that's right.
No.
But then again, some of the people that Kevorkian was offing, they had a terminal illness, but some of them didn't seem all that bad. You know, they were still living at home, but they just had something that they felt that, you know, it was going to take their life and they can't cope or don't want to deal with it. Did some of them seem like they were, you know, still might have some time left in them and things to do and families? And I guess if the whole family agrees, it's different, but you'd really have to make sure that people were thinking rationally in the right frame of mind, because there's a lot of people who brainwash and, you know, all the different things like Waco, Texas would brainwash people live in some kind of compound and things like that. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. And then there's Jim Jones.
Ooh.
That was a big 900 people committed suicide all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, yeah. That's part of our culture now, you know. You're
scared to drink Kool-Aid anymore.
What's that?
I'm scared to drink Kool-Aid anymore. It was a bad batch of Kool-Aid is all it was.
No. But that the whole drink the Kool-Aid thing, you know, that's kind of gotten into our psyche as far as, you know, us agreeing to a big scheme or a certain, oh, you drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kool-Aid Company, don't call me for my little statement.
Exactly. I don't think the Kool-Aid Company's digging that too much. But is there something else you want to say about assisted suicide?
No, not really.
Okay.
No.
So that's euthanasia. And one other topic I wanted to make sure that we touched upon was the suicide note. They say that 37% of people who commit suicide leave a note. I thought it would be higher than that.
They also say that a lot of suicides just are not planned, kind of an all of a sudden thing.
That I have to think that would account for that reason why not many people leave a suicide note. I know a friend of mine, his son just committed suicide. And initially they didn't think it was suicide because he didn't leave a note. So,
well, it says something here on kidshealth.org. There's a section on suicide that sometimes a depressed person plans a suicide in advance. But many times, though, suicide attempts happen impulsively. In a moment of feeling desperately upset, a situation like a breakup, a big fight with a parent, an unintended pregnancy, being outed by someone else, or being victimized in a way that could cause someone to feel desperately upset.
Yeah, so, that's too bad for kids in that situation because, you know, they haven't lived enough life experiences to know that, you know, something better is just around the corner. There are many other ways to deal with this awful situation.
And do you think that's another job for parents, isn't it? Is it something that you would discuss with your kids or only if it arose? Would you actually talk about suicide? Like,
yeah, I think it's a good idea to talk about suicide. Yeah. Put it in your head. I mean, especially if you feel your kids are happy.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I've talked about suicide.
And is it something that would come up when one of your kids is feeling sad about something, or is it just something like, do you have a time from time to time where you say, you know, let's sit down and talk about something?
No, usually it's an event, like my buddy,
or you see something happen,
then you bring it up and say, okay. And you tell them about it. You know, stuff's happening in the world, and it's not all of it's pretty. And it can happen to you. It could happen to your best buddy, and you know, you don't even know it. It's coming.
And I think it's good, though, that something does get said because, you know, they have an understanding of it to some degree. And it's put, you know, it's out there that, you know, the things happen to people and these things happen. And if there's a problem, then you can come to you guys and talk to you, too.
Exactly.
So a lot of kids probably don't get that from their parents, you know, until something actually happens or, you know, it's a... maybe some secret things going on or somebody that they like that the parents don't know about and, you know, relationship or something happens somewhere that they can't tell their parents about. And it's pretty good to be open with your kids and make sure that they know that even if it's something bad, they can talk to you because you're the ones that are going to help them.
Yeah.
So,
because a lot of parents whose kids commit suicide, you hear them say, oh, but he was such a happy kid. I
had no idea. Yeah.
I had no idea. Or he couldn't have committed suicide, you know, whatever. You know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's always good to bring it out in the open. Everything. Whatever you can talk about. I think that comes from the fact that my parents never talked to me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, suicide, life, job, anything. I'm like a dog. Put some food in this bowl there and he'll be all right.
Well, you turned out all right, didn't you?
I guess, yeah.
Still with us.
You got to meet the right people.
Yeah, I guess so.
Set you down the path.
So we're going to take a quick break and come back with Tech Talk.
You need more Big JD? Visit the website, www.bigjd.com. Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all.
That's right.
Oh. That song?
Yeah.
That music?
That's right. No, the song, the music.
The music, yeah.
Somebody use it somewhere?
Oh, yeah. I gotta get you to listen.
I'll sue.
God bless you.
I recorded that myself.
The horns and everything, eh? Don and Drew, they have, every once in a while, they do a Whiny Wednesday. And that's they put words behind that. And
they
did it a few times and... It's the Whiny Wednesday.
Doesn't sound like whiny music, though. It's kind of up-tempo. You'd think you'd have something different for whiny music.
Yeah, but they're funny people.
What do you call it? A
violin?
Violin, yeah.
Fiddle.
Nope, violin.
Okay.
Violent fiddle. So we're on Tech Talk. And today, I thought it'd be kind of neat to mention scanning.
Body scanning.
Scanning pictures. Oh, that's something good, too. That's some technology there. Body scanning. Where you can go and actually get your body scanned to see if there's anything wrong with you that you don't, even if you feel great. No symptom, no anything. You pay $700 or whatever it is.
It's about $700, yeah.
In the States, I guess you really got to go do that. And they scan your body and they find, you know, they might find the most minuscule beginning of cancer or something. And
do they find it for you or do they just do the scan for you? Do they look at it and say, oh, yeah, we found something?
Oh,
or,
sure,
or
yeah.
Or do they just give you...
No, no, you get a result.
Here's your thing and you go bring it to
someone. No. I think that you get a result with it from the people that actually deal with that. Well, this scanner people. So
there's a good movie too, Scanners.
Yeah. I don't know if I saw that. Kevin Bacon? No.
Might have been.
But yeah, that's a really cool scan. But I'm talking about photo scanning.
Oh,
you know, you got all kinds of old pictures that you'd taken photos? With your...
What about documents?
Well, yeah, documents too. It's sure.
Scanning. That's the kind of scanner you're talking about. Computer.
Yeah, scanner. It's computer scanner. That's not all I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about scanning in general. So there's scanning of pictures and documents and business cards and things like that. And you can get many different types of scanners to do that for you. And you can scan your old, you know, some scanners have negative scanners built into them. And you can put your old negatives in there. Even if you don't have the pictures or the pictures are old and faded, you can use a negative and scan from that and scan digital pictures for your computer. You know, and then print them out if you want, or email them, put them on your website, whatever you do with your pictures. And the other thing is that you can actually go to places, photo developing places, or someplace like even a Walmart or whatnot, and you can actually bring your photos in there or your negatives. But what's really neat is bringing the actual photos in, and they'll stack the photos into this little scanner machine, and it'll suck each picture in. Scan it and it'll put them all on a disc for you. So you have all your digital pictures. So that's really cool. So people think that, oh, I'm in a digital camera age now and I'm taking, you know, pictures. They're all digital on the computer. Boy, I wish I had all my old pictures on here too for the family to look at, and because they're all shoved in a box somewhere or wherever, you know what I mean? And this way, it's great to be able to take advantage of looking at those old pictures again, emailing them around to family, putting them on a family website maybe, and different things like that. And it's really cool to have them. And as well, of course, document scanning is important. Maybe have old documents and old certificates and things like that that you might want to scan and have digital copies of that, have a PDF. Maybe you need it for something, you know, send around with a resume or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things. And so scanning is a great thing for all those things. You maybe want to put your butt cheeks on there and scan them.
Scan your butt cheeks.
But scanning is really cool. Scanning can be fun, and it's kind of neat for multimedia and pictures and things like
that. It's fun, but I find it to be a pain in the butt.
It's time-consuming and tedious, and it can be, it's not the fastest thing in the world. That's why I say, like, you bring a stack of pictures to Walmart, and, you know, by next day or whatever, for like $10, they'll throw a whole whack of them on a disc for you. And that's much easier than you sitting there doing it. You know, put four pictures down on the thing and scan them. Then you have to break them apart if you want them individual or whatever. Some programs will actually break them apart for you. But yeah, it can be kind of a tedious thing. But still, I don't think you can get away from the importance of scanning. I think everybody should have a scanner, or at least an all-in-one printer, scanner, fax machine or something that will scan. Yeah,
for sure.
Very handy.
You were looking at one, though, a standalone unit.
I was looking at a standalone, a little scanner. It was an upright scanner. So instead of a flatbed scanner where you would lift the top up and lay something down and then scan and print or what have you, this thing you feed in, and you could actually put pictures on there too. It held a certain amount of pictures that would just feed through the thing and scan them. Nice. And I've actually got a scanner that's basically like that.
Oh, you do?
I have the BC, I think it's a BCJ85 Canon printer, a portable printer. So you can take it around with you and stuff. Right. And it's really small. But you take out the ink cartridge and put in the scanner cartridge, and then you feed documents in, and instead of printing, that thing goes and it scans it. It's pretty neat. And it's along the same lines as that, but of course, this thing's updated, and you can put I think it was 25-page. It'll just keep scanning your...
Document feeder.
Really cool. Very cool. And if you listen to the next Easy Mac podcast, if you want to find out about that scanner in our gadget of the month, we're going to discuss that scanner made by...
Ion? No.
No. That was something else we did. But yeah, it's we're going to talk about that scanner anyway.
What does that mean by?
I'm not sure. I don't think it was... wasn't Lexmar.
Brother?
No, it wasn't Brother. Wasn't Canon. It was something, Panasonic or something.
Yeah.
Something a little bit different.
It doesn't remind me of a regular scanning company.
Yeah, I can't remember, but check out the Easy Mac podcast. You can go to easymacpodcast.com.
Yeah, and you'll find our buddies doing that show, Mike and Jeff.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about that on the show. And of course, the Jabbercast, you can pick up www.thejabbercast.com, and you can check out the website there. You can go to the podcast page and you can subscribe there through iTunes, or you can just go to the iTunes store and search the Jabbercast, subscribe, and get all these shows for free every time they we put out a new one. Mm-hmm. And to contact us,
you can go to the contact page on the Jabbercast website, and there you'll find the My Chingo widget there, and you can click on the record a message button and leave your message there, and we'll get it and possibly play it on the show.
Alternatively, you can email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com, and by all means, check out the My Chingo widget and send us something. Send us a message of some kind that we can maybe play in the show, or an ID that says, hey, I'm so-and-so and I'm listening to you guys.
Sure.
That would be cool.
Or on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, most Sundays, especially in the wintertime, every Sunday, we will be on Yahoo Messenger. And
right.
Our username is the Jabbercast.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make mention really quickly, too, of what we got coming up next week on the Jabbercast is a really cool show on the Three Stooges. And what's really neat about that is that we're going to have some highlights from an interview that actually doing for my You Talking To Me show, youtalkingtome.ca. On Father's Day, this show is going to air with Paul Howard, who is the son of Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
Cool.
So, going to be talking to him and talking to him about home life with the Stooges, with his dad and his uncles and Curly and Shemp and Larry. So that'll be really fun. So we'll put some highlights into the show next week on the Three Stooges here on the Jabbercast. And then the following week, we have a Father's Day show on the Jabbercast. So we'll be talking about dads, and hopefully we get some, maybe we'll get some recorded My Chingo widget audio about, from listeners of their dads.
What your dad means or meant to you.
Sure. Absolutely. So that's what we got coming up on the Jabbercast. And, let's, maybe get back into a couple of pointers here before we,
couple of pointers.
Yeah. Do you got a couple more pointers or points that you wanted to discuss? I think you have on suicide. You're tapped.
I'm tapped as far as the stuff that I had wanted to mention about suicide. Did you have some stats for us, or where people can go to get help?
Yeah, that's actually very important. So we can kind of end off our suicide talk with that. There's in Ontario here, the Ontario Suicide Prevention Network. You can go to the OS. It's www.ospn.ca. The Ontario Suicide Prevention Network. And it looks to me like they just redid their website because I was on there last week and I wanted to try and get an interview with somebody actually, and I just kind of fell short on time. But they have their homepage there. They have events, organizations, suicide bereavement, you know, all about their board of directors and things, and participating. You can volunteer as well, donating, and contact information there. And they have suicide hotlines and things like that. And then there's suicide.org, which is, you know, a vast bunch of different things on suicide. And the first thing that they say on the website is suicide is never the answer. Getting help is the answer. So hopefully people would heed that. But they have different things on it as well. You know, suicide cases, warning signs, different websites, places you can call, places you can visit for help. Postpartum depression and suicide information on that. Schizophrenia and suicide, bipolar disorder and suicide, suicide statistics, teens and suicide, college student suicide. Like, they seem to cover everything, and that's suicide.org.
So go there for some help.
Yep, and they have, already on the homepage, they have some phone numbers and everything to call if you need help right away. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Jabber quote.
Are you interested in becoming an online radio DJ? Did you know that you can DJ from any place in the world with a broadband connection? Would you like to host a show of your own? Contact the station manager here at WKBR, WKBR.ca.
And this week's Jabber quote brought to us by
Walmart, where you can get your pictures scanned for nothing. No, at least Steve and Larry, fine makers of Dr. Kevorkian suicide machines.
Nice. Corner of Wabash and Strabane.
In beautiful Burbank, California.
So what's the Jabber Code this week?
Well, I was debating. There's two, and they're both TV people.
Okay. The TV people are coming to get me, so I committed suicide.
Well, there's Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. And he says, suicide is man's way of telling God, you can't fire me, I quit.
That's not bad. It's kind of funny.
And then Phil Donahue. Do you remember Phil?
Yes, I do. Is he still married alive? To Connie Chung. Oh, no, that's Maury Povich. He was married to somebody big. What's her name?
Danny Thomas's daughter.
Yeah, yeah. Lily Thomas. Tomlin. Thomas. Margot. Is that it? Margot Thomas? Isn't it?
No. If you said it, I'd say yes, but that ain't it. Not Margot. It's Marlo.
Marlo Thomas. Marlo. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's her name, Marlo. Wow. And he says, Phil says, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Well, isn't that a good thing then?
That's a very good thing, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think permanent solution. That's a good thing.
Well, no.
Take your life and you permanently...
it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The problem that you have, if you're considering committing suicide, is temporary.
That's right.
That situation will not be there later on.
Big JD is just kidding.
I know. It's hard to be serious about a topic as suicide and be serious the whole show. And I think our listeners understand that. So that's a pretty good way to look at it. Suicide is permanent. It's you do it and you're done. You don't get to come back.
That's right.
Unless you believe in reincarnation. But.
That's the whole thing. The answer is not suicide. The answer is getting help. So anyways, and any of our ill comments today, don't kill yourself over it, eh? Quote by Big JD. So yeah, that's today's show, and I hope you'll join us next week for the Three Stooges show. That's going to be awesome.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See ya.
Wise guy.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.